This episode of Hashtag AmWriting is sponsored by Author Accelerator's Book Coach Training Program. If you've been hanging with us for a while, you've heard us talk about Author Accelerator's Book Coach Training and Book Coach Matching Services more than once, but here's a question we've never answered. Do you have to have written a book to become a book coach? Answer, nope. Book coaching, the art of guiding a writer into creating the best possible book at this moment in their career, is its very own thing, not unlike editing. How many novels did Maxwell Perkins write? Zero. And that was fine with F. Scott Fitzgerald, or at least I assume it was. I did not know either of them personally. Okay, apparently even that got complicated, but bear with me here. What I'm saying is that if becoming a book coach has been noodling around in your dreams, but you're afraid you don't have the experience, you need to put aside those fears and head over to Author Accelerator to learn more about how to take your passion for story and use it to help other writers get to where they want to be. Find out more at bookcoaches.com/amwriting.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Delatonia, and this is Hashtag AmWriting, the podcast about writing and sometimes reading all the things. Normally we talk about writing, fiction, nonfiction, short pieces, long pieces, pitches, proposals. This is almost always the podcast about sitting down and getting your work done. And if you're getting a hint that we're going to talk about something different this week, you are right.
I'm Jess Leahy. I'm the author of The Gift of Failure and the Addiction Inoculation. It's hard remembering the names of your own books. And I write about a little of child welfare and parenting and that kind of stuff for The New York Times and The Atlantic and The Washington Post.
And I'm Serena Bowen. I'm the author of 35 romance novels. And my new one is going to be called Waylaid, and it's coming in late July.
And I am KJ Delatonia, the author of the novel The Chicken Sisters, as well as the nonfiction book How to Be a Happier Parent, with probably another novel coming about in summer of 2022. So, you know, Serena, look out. I'm coming up close behind.
I was wondering when I was having trouble remembering the names of my books, if Serena could, under duress, if you could just, you know, go from beginning to end, do you think you could handle it? I'm not going to ask you to do it, but could you do it?
If we ever need to raise money for a charity, that's what we'll auction off, is like the ability for us to spring on her at the random moment, the need to recite the names of all of her books.
I could probably do it, but only in English.
Oh, well, forget it then.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. KJ, tell everyone the cool thing we're doing today.
Okay, so today we're going to have some fun. We are calling this the Summer Reading Episode, and this will be the last episode of the podcast with the three of us for the summer. After this, you're going to get weekly episodes with me and Jenny Nash talking about the writer's bookshelf, debating which of two books on some writing topic is better. But Serena and Jess and I are going to wrap up our spring season with a list of what we're going to be reading this summer, and I thought it would be fun to turn this into a competition, because everything's more fun if it's a competition. And so, I stole blatantly, homage, this idea from the Book Riot podcast, which I love. We are each going to do a draft list of our 6 top summer reading books. We're going to do it in order. Jess is going to start, then Serena, and then me. If one of us picks one of the books, a book that we were going to pick, we have to pick another one. And then at the end, you all can vote for which of us you would allow to pick the books that would go in your suitcase on your next vacation. So, you know, you get to pick your favorite.
This is going to be really funny.
Okay. Jess maybe didn't pick her books with this competition in mind, but that's why I win.
Well, the books I pick are so... weird. Okay, well, first of all, the first book that I'm really excited to talk about is a book that came from a recommendation from a friend of ours, actually. It was recommended to my husband. He ordered it and I get it next. I'm really, really excited. And it is called A Woman in the Polar Night, the classic memoir of a year in the Arctic wilderness by Christiane Ritter. And it's from what I understand, I think it's a new-ish translation, but it's also just a beautiful book. You can't see it, but I'm holding it up for KJ and Serena right now.
It is a beautiful cover.
But this came from our friend Kendall, and Tim is in the middle of it, and I get to start soon. I cannot wait. It's from Pushkin Press. It's, I believe, from like 1938. It's not a new book. And I'm very excited.
That's fun. Not every book has to be like super new release.
Yeah.
All right, Serena, give us a top pick for your summer or other people's summer.
I can't wait to read Rosaline Palmer Takes the Cake by Alexis Hall.
Cake? You had me at cake.
Yeah. Alexis is a man. He's a fabulously talented British author of various kinds of mostly queer romance. And he is just so witty. He's one of those authors where people say, I could read your shopping list, and I can't wait to read his new one. I'm very excited.
I just wrote it down because now I'm excited too.
Does that happen to have a baking competition plot?
I think it may.
I think you told me about it, and I think it sounds amazing, and I think I'm taking it after you. All right. So my topic is a book that I am halfway. Yeah, I'm exactly halfway through. So, you know, take that as you will. I don't know about the ending. And we haven't necessarily read all. In fact, mostly we haven't read these, right? But it happens that I'm in the middle of this one. It's called Who is Maud Dixon? It's by Alexandra Andrews. It is a thriller about a young woman who's hired to be the assistant of a reclusive and anonymous author of a book that is very Where the Crawdads Sing-esque, except that it's also a memoir. And I don't think this is a spoiler. The author disappears and the young woman takes over her identity. But it's pretty clear at this point that there's more going on than just that. So I'm having a really good time with this one.
That sounds like one I would like to read. I'm definitely writing that one down too.
So far, super fun. All right, you get to pick another one, Jess.
Okay. This is going to be a fun recommendation because I think we've told this story before. A long time ago, I met a bunch of writers in the comments section of Betsy Lerner's blog. And Betsy Lerner, of course, one of our favorites. She wrote Forest for the Trees, a fantastic.
An amazing blog.
Oh, such a good book. It was a great blog,
And an amazing
too,
comment
yeah.
section, yeah. I might
yeah.
add.
And I'm still friends with many of the writers in this section. And one of them, her first novel just came out. And I'm really excited also because it is set in Newfoundland. And I love myself a Newfoundland story. So Downeth Monaghan has a new book, her first book called New Girl in Little Cove. And the blurbs are basically, if you loved Come From Away, don't miss this charming debut novel. And she grew up there. She grew up in Newfoundland and Ontario. And so I can't resist myself a good dose of Newfoundland over the summer. So New Girl in Little Cove, and it has a very sweet watercolor painting on the cover. It's a very cute cover. So congratulations, Downeth. I'm very happy for you.
That sounds extremely fun, and I have a feeling that my book shopping list is going to grow after this episode. All right, your turn, Serena.
Awesome. Well, all of my picks are things that are commercial fiction, and some of them overlap with romance a little, and some of them don't. And that's kind of how I wanted to spend my summer, thinking about the edges.
That's pretty much where I
am,
too.
So I have also a confession to make, which is that I have never read Taylor Jenkins Reid, who is widely acknowledged to be just fabulous. So I'm going to read Malibu Rising. Her new book takes place in the 80s. And I decided to put this one next because I had a feeling it was on KJ's list.
So, so, so good. That's an excellent one.
I'm actually in the middle of the audio right now, and the audio is fantastic. I've been listening to it while I garden.
Yeah, and I honestly haven't read any of her other books either, although I vaguely mean to. Who knows?
She captures Malibu so beautifully in this book. It just, it crackles of Malibu. Remember how we talked about that novel, Dry, how it really just captured the crackling tinderbox Australian outback that she, with Malibu Rising, she really captures Malibu in that same sort of really essential way. It's really good.
I don't know Malibu, so I couldn't say that, but I loved it. I mean, it was just, I thought it was masterful. It's also a book that can literally be summed up in two words, but I won't ruin it because they
Okay, good.
But I love that. It's really funny that you could write an amazing book that could be summed up in two words.
Well, and there was a lot to follow up on because Daisy Jones and the Six, I just adored. And I've heard that both are being made into movies too. So that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, you could see why. All right. So my next one is one I have not read, started, or otherwise engaged with. It is called Sky Falling by Mia McKenzie. Definitely sits on that. Well, I don't know that there's any. I think, yeah, there is romance. So this probably sits on that romance slash commercial fiction line. And I got it from my book of the month selection. And all I remember is that the title character, Sky, donated an egg 12 years ago. And the egg, in the form of a child, has reappeared in her life. So that sounds like fun. And I think she falls in love with the egg's aunt. The egg now being a girl, but funnier, funnier this way. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that one. And Book of the Month, they do pretty good. You know, it's rare for me to pull one from them and be like, really?
This next one is not out yet. It will be out on July 6th. Actually, my next two books are going to be out on July 6th. This is one I have been eagerly awaiting. It landed on my doorstep yesterday. It is called Fox and I, An Uncommon Friendship by Catherine Raven. And I think partially I'm excited about this because anyone who follows me on, has followed me on Instagram for a while knows that I have a relationship with some foxes that were living in my woods and I set up all these game cameras. But also my very favorite David Sedaris essay ever is called Untamed. And it's about his relationships with Carol, the fox that lived behind his house in West Sussex. So this book by Catherine Raven, Fox and I, is apparently it started out as just about this fox, and she has a PhD in biology, and it became clear that it was also a memoir. So there you are. I'm totally sunk, right?
Yeah.
Because it is the confluence of research-based nonfiction and memoir, which is my very favorite place to live, and I cannot wait to start this book. I'm starting it today, as a matter of fact.
Cool.
And I have it, full disclosure, because Catherine Raven's publicist is my publicist from the release of The Addiction Inoculation, and that is why I have a free copy. Your turn, Serena.
I am also going to read a book that I was saving until I finished something called Life is Too Short by Abby Jimenez, because both of you guys really enjoyed it. And KJ lent me the book, and then I accidentally gave it back to her. So
I have it sitting right here, and I keep trying to shove it through the screen, but it doesn't work. So we're just going to have to get together.
Okay, so any day now, I'm definitely going in.
I can't wait to discuss it with you because I liked it a lot. I really liked it.
Too.
And you're going to find something familiar in it. That's the only hint I will give you, because you have written a book that has a familiar theme that goes through
cool.
this book.
All right, so my next one is called Embassy Wife. This I did get an advance of. Actually, the owner of our bookstore specifically gave me this. She's like, I think you're going to like this. And she was totally right. This is by Katie Crouch, who apparently lives around here, but I got nothing, which is kind of unusual, really. And it's almost like one of those stories about sort of Upper East Side wives doing bad things, except that these are African embassy wives. Some of them are doing bad things, and some of them are trying to do good things. And it's a cool cover. It's got zebras, but it's an unusual cover. So I was kind of reading it going, I'm not sure if this is, and when you come to an ARC, you don't know stuff, right? I'm not sure, is this a thriller? Is this literary fiction? Is it commercial? I don't know. It turned out to be commercial, vaguely thriller-ish, lots of fun, and I definitely enjoyed it, and a lot to say about the presence of Americans in African embassies, which was super interesting.
So is it in an African embassy here in the U.S. or in
no.
an embassy in Africa?
No. Okay. They're in Africa.
Gotcha. Okay.
And some of them are there semi-willingly. All of them are the partners of, not every partner is a wife, but the main characters in this are wives. And some of them sort of are willing embassy wives, and one of them is really not. And that is
cool.
very entertaining. And it is a real country where the author has been. It's about, I'm so ashamed, but I had to make sure, because the country is Namibia. And I thought that was real, but it's also quite true that if you told me that there was a country called Namibia, I would have to check, because I don't know the African countries as well as I should. So I did just make 100% sure that this was a real country and not something, not sort of the made up almost a real country version of a real country that personally I would have been tempted to do had I been her.
Hmm. That would have definitely felt safer, I suppose.
Yeah, but there's a lot. This is really good on the sort of embassy white savior, hello, Africa is fine, in some ways and also different in others. It's good. Lots to think about, plus a page turner.
Well, Betsy Lerner's blog is making a big appearance in my recommendations
today
because one of the other people who was in the comments section, Terry Carter, who is wonderful to follow on Twitter, she's a journalist in Kentucky, she wrote a lovely piece about my book, The Addiction Inoculation, and to thank me for letting her write a beautiful article about book. She sent me a thank you note, and she sent me a copy of a novel that I never would have found on my own called Dear Anne, a novel by Bobby Ann Mason. It turns out it's my publisher. I just would never have stumbled on this book, and it is set in Kentucky. And it looks like something that you two would really, really like. But it turns out that Bobby Ann Mason happens to be someone that Terry Carter knows from Kentucky. And that's why she sent it to me, because she thought I would like it. And so I'm actually really, really excited for this. She has some fantastic blurbs on the back. In the New York Review of Books, they said she's one of those rare writers who, by concentrating their attention on a few square miles of native turf, are able to open up new and surprisingly wide worlds for the delighted reader. And I cannot tell you the last time I read something set in Kentucky, so I'm really excited about this.
Cool. All right, Serena?
Yeah, I'm going to try next a book called Finley Donovan is Killing It. And the author is Cosimano. And this book is shelved very much in commercial fiction with a beautiful illustrated cover, but not terribly cartoony. And but it is not a romance. Finley Donovan is not killing it in real life, but she accidentally accepts a contract killing job.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's a little bit about being the, you know, typically frustrated mom of a four-year-old with not enough money or time, and also, oops, accidentally, she's agreed to kill somebody. Yeah. And I can't wait to see where it goes.
That reminds me of one that I have been meaning to grab and haven't, Dial A for Aunties, where the lead character, it is a romance, but the lead character accidentally kills someone on a blind date, and her aunties, because she's Indian, her aunties are going to save, you know, they're going to save her and hide the body and do all. So anyway, it just reminds me of that. That wasn't my recommendation, although it sounds really good and I'm totally going to buy it.
That sounds really, really good.
Sneaky cheat. I have to make a list for also mentions now on our list. All right. Oh, it is my
Your turn.
I get to do another
yep.
one. Yay. Okay. My next one, I have not cracked this, so I don't know, but it sounds amazing. It is called The Plot, and I vaguely remember that it's about someone stealing a plot from another writer that I think is his student, and then it's a thriller, and we know how the blurb candy is made, so, you know, sometimes we appreciate blurbs and sometimes we don't. You quoted the New York Review of Books. You can't get that because they're
right.
your friends.
Right.
And you can't get Stephen King. Really.
Right.
And Stephen King calls this insanely readable. So
oh, hello.
Leaned very thrillery this time, which is unusual, but I think, I'm exploring my other possible reading and writing interests, I guess.
Can I have dibs on that one next? Because that sounds fantastic.
It does. Well, Rob,
I also
Rob,
like...
my husband is actually next on the list for that one.
Okay.
Yes, afterwards.
I also like the cover. The cover is cool looking. Oh, yes, it is... It is my turn. Yes, it is. Okay. So this one is another book that's not on sale until July 6th. And full disclosure, I got this one for free because it is by someone I follow on Twitter and is also involved in substance abuse research and life experience and that kind of thing. And the reason I follow this guy on Twitter, his name is David Poses, and he just says stuff. I follow him because remember when we were talking about dissecting books and sometimes you just need a book that just is from someone who's unafraid to say things knowing that other people are going to disagree with what you have to say. And David is one of those people. And David has overcome an addiction to opiates and suicidal ideation and all sorts of stuff. And this book I'm really, really excited to read. It's been recommended to me by no fewer than five people at this point. So it is called The Weight of Air, A Story of the Lies About Addiction and the Truth About Recovery. David Poses. On July 6th.
Sounds good. I mean, like normally you say addiction memoir and I say that actually sounds pretty good.
Yep. And he had lots of relapses. So it's one of those stories that, like, we always want to hear.
It just makes everything better.
No. We just always, think, I think people sort of think that, you know, you go to rehab or you go into recovery and that's it, you're fixed. And that is just not at all how it goes for a lot of people. And so I think this is going to be a helpful book too.
Great. My next pick is by Talia Hibbert, who's a favorite of mine.
I like her too.
And I'm always fascinated by the readers in my reader group who must read books in order, which is not an affliction that I have. Like I'm happy to jump in on a book two and then swing back later to pick up book one, which is what I'm going to do with Get a Life, Chloe Brown, because I haven't read books two and three and I need to swing back and pick up book number one. So
guaranteed fun.
Book number one is which?
Get a Life.
The Get a Life, Chloe Brown. Okay, yeah. Not
it
only
goes,
do
Chloe,
people
Danny
wait, I got it. Act your age, Eve Brown.
Eve.
Yeah. Not what's really funny to me, Serena, is that not only some people are really obsessed about reading them in order, but there are people in your group, your Serena Bowen Facebook group, who like to construct timelines and make sure that they know exactly where a given plot fits in the larger arc of all of the other people's stories as well. It's fascinating to me to watch.
Yeah, and I like to get that stuff right, but sometimes I break a timeline on purpose, and I'm sure I'm making somebody twitch.
Well, if you get a good book out of it, readers, then I think it's worth it.
I was having this discussion today with my German publisher, who's going to publish a book out of order, basically. And I just cautioned them. I'm like, well, you know, you'll get three emails and I'll get yelled at on Instagram. But ultimately, I think that makes sense and it'll be fine.
There'll be a few people who will twitch, but that's okay. They'll get over it, I'm sure.
All right. Let's see. My next pick has been out for a bit, but I only got partway through it and then I had to put it down because it was too much fun and therefore distracting me from my work in progress. I can handle the thriller. I don't know. This is, it's just too wonderful. I needed to put it aside till I could give it all my full attention. It's called The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner, and it is out in the world and I'm sure that y'all have heard of it. So I won't say too much other than that the first bit
nothing.
Of it was so good that I put it aside.
I have not heard of it. I know nothing, so
it is magical realism or magical.
Oh, okay.
Magical historical fiction. The idea being that there's a young woman who runs what had been her mother's apothecary shop in in old ye olde London, and it's better than that. It doesn't deserve ye olde. I just don't remember exactly when it's set. And when her mother ran it, it helped women do good things. And now that she runs it, not so much.
Did you know that when we say ye, that the Y is actually just a letter that used to be the T and the H together? So it's just the, except it looks like to our modern eyes, the or ye. Because
yeah, and I'm going to keep saying it that way.
Okay, all right. My book is a throwback too, and I only picked it up because it turned up on my husband's bedstand or bedside table, and I stole it. And so now I'm going back to read what David Mitchell called A Thing of Shimmering Wonder. I'm reading Hamnet. Hamnet, a novel of the plague by Maggie O'Farrell. I never read it when it came out.
I think I picked it up. It's wonderful, and I refuse.
Yeah, I'm really excited, mainly because I have no idea if it has to do with, you know, like, I'm assuming it has to do with, Shakespeare's Hamnet.
Shakespeare's dead kid.
Yeah, I know, which may or may not have influenced Hamlet. But anyway, I only know what's sort of in most of the history books about Hamnet and how it affected Shakespeare. But I'm really, really excited to read it because I'm... it's just one of those books that I should have read when it first came out, and I didn't. But then
Everybody
again, I still haven't read the Crawdads. I haven't read the Crawdads book, and that's
very
because
different.
But it's not different in the sense that you didn't read this one because you were being obstinate, and I'm not reading the Crawdad book because I'm being obstinate.
I didn't read that one because either it's about Shakespeare's dead son and it's sad, or it's about Shakespeare's dead son who inspired Hamlet, and I don't know anything about Hamlet, and reading stuff like that makes me too aware of how poor my education was. So entirely different.
Okay. Well, I didn't read it because I was being obstinate. So this or the Crawdads book, I suppose. I get really suspicious of books that like, ooh, everybody says you have to read it. And then I go, no, I don't. And then I don't read it. And
I did that with Crawdads for a long time, too. And then I read it when Reese picked my book because, hello, now I will read anything that Reese Witherspoon suggests. And all I have to say about it is that it is really just a fun thriller dressed up in some slight literary clothes. So it's a fun and entertaining read.
I'm sure I'll read
it. Which isn't too surprising. I mean, if it were not, then it probably would not have sold like it did. Reese Witherspoon or no?
Yep. Yep.
And it's my turn for the last book, right?
Yeah.
It's your turn for the last book.
Oh, well, my last book is going to be a nonfiction, which is Valedictorians at the Gate by Becky Munster Sabke, which is...
You're going to love it.
It's so great. I'm actually halfway through, and it's just terrific. She is... spent years as an admissions officer at Dartmouth College. And this is a really like your best friend chatting to you about all the things she's seen. Like, it's not gossipy. It's just a friendly introduction to what it's like to be an admissions officer and what, you know, what she saw and what she thought about it and how it all works. So it's actionable, but it's also just a lovely, palatable way to read about this thing that's really stressful in a book that's so funny. Like, I'm laughing in every chapter.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be possible, right? You know, to make somebody laugh in every chapter of your book about college admittance, you know, which is the most stressful thing that happened to me in 2021. So I can't wait to read this in plenty of time for kid number two. So, you know, I could just be a little sharper about the whole thing.
I'm on the list to get that one.
Okay.
I always really appreciate the humor. It was sort of like when I read, you know, Ron Lieber's book, The Price You Pay for College, or when I read, you know, when I wrote the Addiction Inoculation and, you know, people remark that there's humor in it. And I was not allowed to, my publisher wouldn't let me put like humor, the word humor in the blurbs and or not blurbs but the description of the book because they're like, oh no, this is a heavy subject, you can't have humor. But I love it when I get a subject that I think is gonna be, you know, serious, and then I'm like, I'm treated to humor as well. I think that's such a nice mix, and I wish more people were sort of allowed to talk about the fact that no, you're gonna laugh with this too, and that's okay. So
all right, well, my last pick is Somebody's Daughter, a memoir. So this is my first nonfiction pick, by Ashley Ford. Ashley Ford's father went to prison when she was very, very small, and she was raised by her mom and I think her grandmother. And so she isn't just her father's daughter, which is kind of what you think of when you hear the title. But this is really a book about the relationships that she actually has versus the relationship that she imagined she could have had. And I was thinking, yeah, I think I want to read this. Like, I was in. And then the Book Riot podcast, which apparently this is the Book Riot podcast homage podcast. They did something new last week, and I'll link to it in the show notes, where they actually played the audio of her first chapter, and it just blew me away. So I'm totally in for that one.
This book is getting major, major buzz. And if you do not follow Ashley C. Ford on Twitter. I believe her handle is iSmashFizzle, and she is a fantastic follow on Twitter, and I'm also just dying to read this book. I almost had it on my pile, so
yeah,
you would have, I would.
You we know, almost had an overlap.
We almost had an overlap. It's supposed to be just fantastic. I'm so excited.
So that's it. Those are our picks. Y'all, email us. Tell us which list you like. Tell us what you're going to be reading. Come to the Facebook group. Do the same thing. That might be an even better place to do it. We can grab votes there, too. So put them in the comments to this episode on the Facebook page. That would be super fun. And we obviously aren't going to do what I'm reading in this episode, because that would be silly. So we just won't take... We don't need another break in this episode, but... I'm gonna break with precedent, and Jess and Serena looking at me in horror here, because I read a book that is super all over the giant posters at the bookstores, and it's very buzzy, and I just want to toss a buzz warning, I guess, out there. It's called The Other Black Girl by Zakiya Dalia Harris, and I was so excited to get an advance of this one. It is about a young black woman who works in a publishing company. Obviously, you had me at publishing. And her experience when another young black woman joins the team and is maybe not exactly on her team. And that's the first half of the book. And oh my God, the first half of the book is so good that I recommend it on multiple podcasts. And then it really changes. And I think there are literary reasons for this change. It kind of genre hops. And the choice about the ending is really an unusual one. So I'm just going to say...
A caveat emptor,
yeah,
a buyer beware.
You're really
beware.
Not getting the devil meets... If I say it's the devil meets Prada meets way out to you, you might want to lean heavily in on the way out. Not as in like Get Out, but the movie Way Out, because this is, it's really different. And I can see, or at least I can try to see literary reasons for the choices that were made at the ending. But as a reader, I found it, to be not, as a reader, I felt betrayed.
Well, and that's what's so interesting about this is that we hardly ever do this.
No.
And this is something that you have been talking about now for a couple of weeks.
I can't stop talking about it because the ending comes as such a slap in some ways.
Yeah.
And, maybe that's because of who I am versus who she is writing this for. That is entirely possible. This is just my opinion. It is really, really well written, and like I said, I could read the first half again with deep and abiding fascination. It's where the story went that was not for me. So yeah, you might if this one's on your list and you're choosing between one $28 hardback and another $28 hardback, you want to think hard about sort of where you want your time to go.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Well, and based on what you told me after you read, after you told me about the first half, I would have run right out and gotten it. So I appreciate your honesty about now that you have finished it and how you've been feeling. Especially,
I think I talked about the first half on the pod too, because it was so good. And for me, more like that, please. But it is possible that other readers will be like, no, more like this, please. And hey, that's
it's so funny when
this
we
is why there are
loving,
lots of books.
there's a thing we do when we text each other is when we're really loving a book, there's often a text that'll come through which is like, I really hope he or she sticks the landing. He, she, or they stick the landing. And it's always upsetting when they don't, and so nice when people do that. We even text each other and say, she did it, he did it, stuck the landing.
If anybody else has read this and loved the ending, I would love to hear why.
Yes.
I would be deeply fascinated, because
I
think that is entirely possible too, because it's a real, it's really different, and sometimes that's great. All right, this was our summer reading
so
episode.
So much fun.
Okay, so we're saying farewell? Not really.
Serena and I are saying goodbye for the summer. We will have hopefully news and fun things to talk about when we come back, and we will come back refreshed and ready to go into what we just found out is we just had our fifth
That's
year
right.
anniversary. So we'll be ready to go into our sixth year when we come back from the summer of KJ and Jenny, which is really exciting.
We have some really exciting plans for fall. So stick with us for the Writer's Bookshelf, which I think you are all going to love. And then check in September, or actually earlier, on the Facebook group would be ideal. And sign up for our email to hear what we're going to do with guests and listeners and advice giving and hint, we had fun stuff coming up in the fall.
Yeah,
y'all are going to want to be there.
All right, until the fall, everyone. Except you know that you got to keep writing over the summer. You got to keep your butt in the chair. You got to keep your head in the game. Give yourself some time this summer to relax and recharge and enjoy. But until the fall, everyone, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The Hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Pause. Stop.
Stop.
Thank you.